You know, I can't help but wonder if maybe moments like that are what Jesus thought of when he said, those who will worship him will worship in spirit and in truth. Go ahead and grab a seat. You know, the walk with God is not a super complex thing. As you begin to look at it, the primary concept is to keep God first, to let God be number one in your life. For those who've never placed your faith in Christ, it's the ultimate of acknowledgments of the world doesn't revolve around me. The Bible doesn't start with in the beginning you. The Bible starts with in the beginning God. And there's something bigger than you that's there. And to acknowledge that is the greatest act of worship you could ever partake in. The greatest act of worship you can ever be a part of is to confess that Jesus is Lord and you are not, and that you are a sinner in need of a Savior who died in your place. I pray that for those of you who've never worshiped in that form, would begin even today, and in a very simple way, just acknowledge who Jesus is. Place your faith in him as your redeemer, your atoner, the sacrifice for you. For the rest of us, I wonder, were they able to worship before the invention of a guitar? Did they worship before the organ? Did they worship before these musical expressions that we have today? Would you say yes? Yeah. Which makes me wonder then if our Pavlovian response to worship might need to be expanded a little bit. When we think worship, I just wonder if we're honest, how many of us think music, guitar, this place, this person, these familiar songs, and for strum of the guitar and the salivation response begins in worship. I just wonder if, much like the Samaritan woman who wondered which building she should be in, if her definition needed to be expanded, I wonder if ours does too. I just wonder as I read Romans 12, verses 1 and following, where it says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual service of worship. I wonder if God's definition of worship is bigger than ours. I wonder if, men, the way you love your wives, is that worship? Ladies, the way you love your men, is that worship? Could it be honoring to God to have a home full of the laughter of your children for the glory of him? When Paul says, whatever you do in work or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving glory to the Father, could the way you work be worship? Could the way you sweat in whatever job it is you're in be worship? Could the way you take care of your home be worship? To the way you love your neighbor, could it be worship? To the way you're involved in your community, could it be worship? Could it be worship to the way you cultivate your family? Could it be worship without a guitar, but worship with a lifestyle? I think it could. If worship, by definition, is the offering that I bring that points to something bigger than myself and points to my Redeemer, then we could have a lot of fun with what worship is. And it can move beyond guitar, this place, this time, from 9 to 10. It can move to lifestyle. I want to challenge you to do a couple of things. One is to recognize that the temptation from the very beginning from Satan to Adam and Eve was to worship something other than God. The temptation in chapter 3 is that, in fact, I think it's in verse 4, Satan says to the woman, God's holding out on you. He doesn't want you to eat because he knows if you do, you'll be like him. And she thought that was a good idea, so she ate. Of course, sin always over-promises and under-delivers. Never gives you what you think. The first two of the Ten Commandments, have no other gods before me, and don't make any other images. Don't worship anything, God says, but me. I'm the only one that you should worship. And yet I just wonder if we're honest, if we're idol worshipers in our hearts. Oh, it's more sophisticated. You're not offering your children a Molech, hopefully. But you might be offering them to entertainment. We may not be worshiping Chemosh, but we might be worshiping celebrities, football teams, golf games. Sorry, guys, too convicting. We could be worshiping ourselves in the name of fashion and status and appearance. We could be worshiping stuff in the name of more square feet, another garage spot, the right neighborhood. We could be worshiping status in the name of being in the right school, having our kids on the right teams, being involved in the right things. So I encourage you this week to ask yourself the question of what idols have creeped into your life. Because if God is indeed a jealous God, then God would delight in us acknowledging the idolatry in our lives and repenting and saying, God, I want to worship you. Those things I mentioned, of course, are not inherently evil, but the love of them certainly is. Let's not be idol worshipers. Let's worship the one true God. Let's not reduce worship to here, this place, this time. Let's make worship about who we are, because we are in the Imago Dei, the image of God. And everything we do can be worship. Everything you do this week can be worship. And that's the second thing I want you to think about. Not just the idols in your life, but what could you do this week that could be worship? It's pausing at the sun rising going, God, you are amazing. It's enjoying the breeze and saying, thank you, Lord, for cooling this valley. It's looking at your families and saying, God, what a blessing. It's spending time in your Bible and saying, God, would you change me? I'd be more like Jesus. All of those things can be the living sacrifice stuff Paul talks about in Romans 12 that can be worship. If we'll do that, what happens is it changes the nature of our relationship with God and makes it, in my opinion, so much more fun because it's about you and the living God doing life together, which is what it's all about. Let me pray and we'll finish up here today. Father, we just pause and worship you and say thank you for your grace, for your provision, for your love for us, and for the fact that our faith is not reduced in worship to moments here in this place with a guitar and songs or with preferences of styles of music, but we could look beyond that to see Christ. Help maturity and wisdom be the higher call for us, that those who claim more maturity in Christ could acquiesce to the less mature and endure worship styles that may not be to their liking, that we would allow maturity to allow us to, even though we may not prefer the worship style, we could certainly respect its content. And may both camps that have been created in churches all over the world begin to find what is most important, and that is unity in Christ and a common call to raise up the glory of Jesus. And so we'll thank you for the privilege to worship you, not just here, but now, all week. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.